I'm not going to give an entire message. I'm going to give a word. And then I'm actually going to let Yahida close us out with her giving message. And I'm not going to take long. But there's just such a sweet spirit in here. So good. And I want to read a psalm. And I'm going to start by saying this. I believe that the calling and mantle that God has placed on my life is to come against, and I said it in the prayer, theological paradigms that have put this region in chains. You hear that? And I believe one of the biggest chains that has been on the church is that we have made God way too distant. And we see it through the prayers of the people of God when we say, God, please return. A prayer of God, please return indicates that you don't understand his nearness. And even in that, some people get caught up in the, well, Kyle, you must be talking about end times, and do you not believe that Jesus is returning? I'm daring to believe that he is as near right now as he will ever be. And if we shift that in our minds, in our hearts, it changes everything. As I read scripture more and more, one thing that I'm realizing the church puts so much emphasis on the New Testament and the New Covenant with the Lord. But I think a lot of times we forget that there were those in the Old Covenant who walked in New Covenant standards. And a lot of times the people in the Old Testament were closer to God than us who walk in the New Covenant. And I'm going to read an example of that in Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 through 11. It's not up there, so don't worry about it. It says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. He's singing about nations crumbling and nations in chaos and how the Lord's kingdom will prevail and be strong. And yet the church loses its foundations on the very thought of a government shutdown. We lose our foundations at the thought of the wrong person in government. We lose our steadfast ways when, and this is not an indictment on those watching online, but when the snow comes, and I know a lot of people, bridges are closed and all that, so I promise I'm not picking on you, a little bit. We call God our solid rock, but we're the most wavering people oftentimes. And here's this choir director in the Old Testament praising God for nations crumbling, praising God that all the enemies are bowing down. And yet the Western church is in a fear that Satan's still going to win. It goes on to say this: the Lord of heaven's army is here among us. Not we wait for the day God will come. But this choir director is singing, the Lord of heaven's army is here among us. And I believe one of the biggest paradigms we have to shift as a church is understanding the nearness of God. That he is actually among us, not distant, not far off, not a one-day presence, but he is near us. He is all around us. We cannot escape him. And I can hear in my spirit some people saying, yeah, I know you've said that, but I don't see it in our lifestyle. I don't see it in our worship. I don't see it in our commitment. You cannot escape the Lord. And that should be the most exciting and peaceful revelation you've ever heard. You cannot escape His presence. When we mess up and we sin, we are in His presence. Your sin is not powerful enough to separate you from presence. Your lack of faith is not powerful enough to separate you from presence. One of the most simplest revelations we have to really embrace is God is here among us. It says, come see the glorious works of the Lord. See how He brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. In some versions it says, stop being anxious. Be still and know that I am God. As much as this may offend some that are listening to this, your anxiety shows how much of an evidence you actually believe that God is near you. Because in the presence of God, your anxiety cannot exist in the revelation that He is right there with you. You have no reason to be anxious when you know the solid rock is with you. And you may feel judged by that, but hear me, I'm not judging you. I'm simply helping you that in a moment of anxiety, get your mind centered around a truth that there's no reason to be anxious. When you start to worry, when you start to fret, wait, what? Why? Why am I letting worry exist in the presence of God? And we say that, and we'll say things like, well, there won't be worry in heaven one day. That shows that He is that far away from you. But He's not. He's not. Well, I can't see Him. Your sight does not prevent the nearness of God from being a reality. He is here among us. He is with us. I can't feel Him. Your inability to feel Him does not change the fact that He is here among us. And oftentimes the biggest warfare and battle in our lives is in a moment when we feel that He is distant, in a moment where we feel we are losing, to just say, Lord, I can't hear You, I can't feel You, I can't see You, but thank You for being with me. It's a redirecting of your mind frame in every moment. I've had people ask me and comment lately about things like, with everything that's gone on in your life, how is it that you're not shaken? And my response is, I have the right footing. I'm not stronger than anybody. I still go through times of worry. I still go through times of panic. But my footing is in Him, and the moment worry and panic starts to creep in, it doesn't get permission to stay. Because why panic if He is here? And I am going to be so bold to shift the theological paradigm, and I really want you to grab onto this and surrender your ideals and surrender your thoughts. Everyone is waiting on a second coming. Would you dare to believe that the second coming has more to do with you believing He's here than Him actually returning? Not saying He's not coming. I'm saying His return is predicated on your awareness that He's already among us. We predicate His return on watching wars and rumors of wars. And let me tell you, wars in the Middle East have been going on way before even Jesus came. So stop listening to people that grew up with a theology that once we see wars, God's going to come back. There's going to be wars. Spoiler alert. There's going to be battles. He says, I've said this many times, but I think a lot of times people don't hear it. He's coming back for a spotless bride. And what that means is not people who are living in perfection. but a perfected mindset of we don't have to wait for him to return because he's here. Listen to that. He is here. And that's probably one of the deepest messages you'll ever hear because it's so hard for us to grab onto. It's hard to grab onto the Lord is here when there's so much tragedy, when there's so much loss, when there's shootings every other day, when there's riots in the streets. And I'm going to preach on it next week, but tonight in this chapter of Job, he's kind of giving an indictment on Job saying, you're too self-righteous. And the whole chapter is basically Job is in question about God, why are you not bringing justice? Why is there no justice in this situation? Job's issue was not self-righteousness. He could not trust that God was with him even though there was no evidence of it. And that is where faith comes in. I have faith that God is with me even when there is no evidence that he is. And when you grab onto that, every decision changes. When you grab onto that, every thought comes into alignment. It goes on to say, is this okay? It goes on to say this. The Lord of heaven's army is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Over and over, he's here. He's here. He's our fortress. He's with us. He's here. This is Old Testament psalm. And not once in that passage do we see a Lord, please return, or Lord, please come. You know, I heard something this week that I thought was so profound. If I were to say that the Lord wants to minister to the poverty, the first thing when we think of poverty is people sleeping on the streets, no electricity, no water, no lights, not able to pay bills. And they didn't say this, but this is what I heard when I heard that. The people in the most poverty is a church who is still waiting. And I see it in all kind of sermons, and I see it in all kind of conferences, and I'm talking about Savannah, Georgia. I see it in all the retreats. I see it in all the messages about a promise of the Lord coming back, and we have missed it. And if you don't like this sermon, you can blame Jesus, because when he left, he said, I am always with you. When he left with a declaration of nearness. I am with you always. If you read the scriptures, as he says this to his disciples, we must embrace nearness. I don't know why I keep repeating myself, but we must embrace nearness. He says, be still and know that I'm here. Be still and know that I'm here. The word fire keeps being brought up every week. And we know that our God is an all-consuming fire. And all throughout the scripture, we see the refining of fire, the refining of fire, the refining by fire. And with all the chaos happening in the world, for some reason, the church is still scared to death of a fire coming from heaven that is anything less than refining. Could it be that the fire called to pour out over a people is something to burn up all the trash so that we can be revealed more and more? You got some?
So before we started tonight, I was praying for worship and I was praying for the sermon, and the Lord put a vision in my mind of a huge bonfire right here in the center of the worship center. And each and every single one of us was coming up, and we had things written down on a piece of paper and we were throwing it in the fire. And I kept hearing no hindrances. So the Lord has literally set a fire in this place to burn up anything that is standing between you and Him, or you and hearing Him, or you and listening to Him. So whatever is standing between you, it is that simple. Write it down and throw it in the fire. And another thing, Sarah's worried with the snowflakes. Since you said that, God has been working on something in my mind. He just keeps showing me the coverage of snow. Right now, it's covering four different states. It's Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and all the way up to Virginia. And when you look at snow, especially fresh laid snow, fresh fallen snow, it is pure. It is like the bride of Christ. There is no spots on it. There's no hindrances. But it has taken every single one of those snowflakes to create that pure covering where there is no spots. And the Lord literally has made every single snowflake individually beautiful. And if He loves us so much more than He loves snow, how beautiful has He made you? And there was this study they did where they spoke positivity into water and then they froze it. And they spoke negativity into water and then they froze it. The positive water, it froze in these beautiful snowflakes. The negative water froze in an ugly shape. It was not symmetrical. So stop speaking negativity into your life. The Lord speaks positivity into each and every snowflake that falls. Each and every single one of you, the Lord speaks positivity into you. He's never meant negative for you at all. He only wants beautiful for you. He only wants you to be pure and spotless and no hindrances. So step into your true calling.
Taylor, can you share? Can you? Yeah.
I had to say confirmation from your vision about the fire, because a couple weeks ago I was praying before service and then in worship, and there was a fire all around the sanctuary, the worship center, that just consumed everything. But there were people worshiping, but a lot of them had bowed heads and were just like burdened. But as the fire was consuming, they started pulling these things out, and there were things written on pieces of paper and throwing them into the air. And as they went up, they just became ash and disintegrated. And so all over the worship center, there was ash and there was just a little fire burning. But then as people got rid of the burdens, no hindrances, then they were able to worship the Lord.
So here's what we're going to do. Just right now, let's be in a posture of prayer. And I want you to think about that thing that the Lord wants to burn up. Even online, I know a lot of you are at home tonight. Right where you're sitting, think about the thing that the Lord wants to burn up. Maybe it's bitterness. I'm just going to start calling them out. Bitterness, unforgiveness. a spirit of revenge, doubt, criticism, anger, anxiety, depression, worry, jealousy. Unworthiness. I can't figure out the phrasing for this, but you're not willing to surrender your belief system to true belief. Comfortability. You embrace comfort way too much when the Lord is saying, telling us to stretch out our tent pegs. In the stretching, there's an uncomfortable experience. Reservation. False identity that you have labeled yourself from a traumatic experience. And as that thing comes to your mind, I want you to imagine that you are writing it on a piece of paper right now. And then when you get that piece of paper, just hold your arm up as if you had that piece of paper. And I'm just going to let the Lord work until all the hands are raised with whatever the Lord has for you. Don't think that you don't have anything to burn up. There's always something. Just a few more seconds. Holy Spirit, show it to them if they can't find it. Pride. Lord, as we hold these up, we thank you that you are here among us. You are that consuming fire. And we release these burdens to you right now in Jesus' name. Just throw them up in the air. We release them right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray over everyone under the sound of my voice in this room, online, that we would not be held back anymore because you just burned up the thing that's making us reserved. You just burned up the thing that makes us feel like we're distant from you. Lord, start to show us who we truly are in you more and more, individually and together. I thank you for a people that are willing to run after you in pursuit of you and who you are. We don't hold any man above you. We don't hold today's pastors above you or today's theologians. We don't hold past theologians above you. We don't even hold the apostles above you. You are lifted high in the heavens and all around. We invite your presence to burn up and continue to burn everything that is not pleasing to you. And as we invite that fire and burning of everything that's not pleasing to you, Lord, we thank you that we will burn brighter as a result. not for our glory, but for your glory, Lord. This region, this area, will come to its knees for the Lord. The hungry, the poor, the wealthy, the needy, the well-off, everyone bowing before you, Lord. Churches bowing before you, idols coming crashing down. Human trafficking ceasing. Desires for abortion will be blotted out. And this area, Savannah, Georgia, and this region all around Savannah will not look like the negative charge of water, but the positive charge. The blanket of snow, a pure picture of who you are all over this area. In the illumination of the saints being your people, God. Thank you for being near. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said.